Would you take your Bibles, please, and join me in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in these verses of Scripture as the Lord just shared with His servant Joshua some words of encouragement that he might be lifted up and be able to step into the shoes of Moses, his predecessor, and to encourage Joshua to trust in Him. And we read verse 7 last week and spent time with the phrase, turn not. And I want to read this verse again and emphasize, turn not to the right hand or to the left, and get the connection of the language that's used in the Hebrew here to help us better understand what the Lord is saying to Joshua. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. And we ask, dear Father, that you might help us to grasp the thoughts that you shared with your servant so many years ago. Words of encouragement to help him to be able to prosper in the position that you put him. And Lord, I pray that we might take to heart these things that are shared with Joshua because they are of note and they are things that we need as your servants that we might prosper as well. We ask now your blessing upon your word tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Way back many, many years ago, I purchased a 16-foot Galaxy boat. I had an 85 Evinrude horsepower motor on it. Michelle remembers that. Tara remembers that. Because in my youth group, I took them out to Blackwater River and taught some of them how to ski. I said some of them, because some of them I was not very successful with getting them up on skis. We did get Michelle up. Yeah, so we got her up on skis. That was a lot of fun, and we enjoyed that. But one time I had some of the guys out there, and we jumped up on, we brought it into dock, and I said, all right, hold the rope. I'm going to go get my truck and the trailer. Well, he came up with a smart idea. There was no anchor point on that dock, the old dock that used to be down at Carpenter's Park. And so he said, I'm just going to just stick it between the two boards. So he tied a knot and slid it in between two boards that were laying flat there, thinking that would be fine. By the time I got the trailer down in the water, I looked back and my boat has already floated out. And I looked at him and I said, what did I ask you to do? Hold a rope. And I said, why is my boat floating out here in the middle of the thing? So I tied it off. And I said, well, obviously you didn't. I said, jump in the water and go get the boat and pull it back in. Well, that's too heavy for me. I said, jump in the water and go get the rope. Pull it up, we'll grab the rope, and we'll pull the boat in together. So he jumped in the water and he kept saying, are there any alligators in here? And I said, do you know how to hold a rope? And we were going back and forth on that. Well, he got the rope. It was sitting floating on top of the water and got the rope, and he swam up there with the rope, and we pulled the boat in and so forth like that. But what was amazing to me was how quickly the boat floated away from the dock. I mean, I went to my truck, drove it down there, backed it into the water, and it was already off dock about 30, 40 feet away. It was just drifting, floating backwards. Now this passage, and I mentioned this past week, that this idea of turn not is do not drift away. That's the whole thought of that word turn not. Completely different Hebrew word that's used in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, where it says turn not to the right hand or to the left. Completely different word used there, speaking of direction. Here, it's speaking of drifting, and it's the idea of the boat not being tied off. Now, in the Middle East, this is an interesting thing. Generally speaking, they bring their boats ashore, and during the middle of the night, the tide will go out, and the boat will be up on dry land. And the next day, the water tide will come back in again and refloat the boats and so forth, but they still have to tie off the boat. Because when the tide comes back in, if it's not tied up, what's going to happen to the boat? It's going to float off. And this is the picture of the Hebrew word that's used here. It's a nautical term. It's the idea, it said, don't loosen your rope where the boat will float off. Make sure that the rope is firmly tied. I had a little PowerPoint to go with this, but I couldn't get it to work tonight, so which is normal for our little church here. For some reason, this little gizmo over here is very finicky, and I must not pay it enough, but anyway, I couldn't get it to go. But I want you to picture with me, please, a boat tied up at a dock. Now, how do you tie a rope to the dock? I'll just share with you. Most docks have what's called the Mickey Mouse ears, all right? They stick up like this. They're metal. And you take the rope and you wrap it around one side. Then you flip it up and then over and the other, and you make a figure eight, back and forth and back and forth till you use up your rope. And if you have an extra remaining, you just coil it up, leave it right there so somebody doesn't get tangled up in it. And the boat is not going to move. Now, here's a person that comes along, and I'm speaking metaphorically here because I want you to get the picture of a person's life. What are you and I to be tied to? Christ, all right? He saves us from our sin. But we're also to be tied to His Word that He's left behind for us. We're to be anchored in His Word. We're to be shored up by making sure that we're tied off to the Word of God so that the Word and ourselves don't drift apart. But think about somebody that comes along and says, hey, you know, I'm gonna untie the rope. It won't go anywhere. I'll be right back and I'll get my boat. Now, I learned very quickly how quick, with wave action and boats going in and out, how quickly a boat can float away from a dock. So, here's a boat, untied. It's sitting right there. Then it gradually starts to drift. It's still within reach from the dock. Now, think for just a moment. Is it connected to the dock, though? This is the point of the Hebrew word. When you loosen the rope and untie it from its fixed point, you begin to drift. You might say, well, I'm still really close. I hear this said by people all the time. We're not that far from each other, brother. And they're way far away. They've drifted away. But in their mind, they're really close. But what have they done? They've untied themselves from the anchor point. And they've allowed themselves, they may not have drifted very far, but they're still what? They're in the motion of drifting. Now they could reach back up, wrap the rope back around, and tie it back off again, and they'll be fine. But what if they don't? The Bible indicates you can drift to the right or to the what? To the left. Now what is that a picture of? All right, drift to the right or drift to the left. Well, at Carpenter's Park, where we used to bring my boat in, if you drifted to the right, you were going to end up in the marsh. That's where all the reeds were. That's where all the snakes were, all right, and so forth. If you drifted to the left, there was a little canal that had been dug many, many years before. They used to have a park on the little island that's right beside Carpenter's Park. Back when my mom was a teenager, the JCs at Milton High School helped clear that land. They had picnic tables there. But then it was invaded by alligators. And so the state came in and said, there's alligators out there. We're not gonna resettle them somewhere else. We're just gonna close the park. And they took the little bridge. It used to be a drivable bridge. You could go across in a small parking area. Dad remembers that. And they took that out. You couldn't go over there anymore. And then it grew right back up again with all the juniper and the cypress and stuff that grows out there in the water. And that island, you know, you can get your boat will drift for a bit, and then it goes into that little canal area, and then it'll stop because it's too shallow. Now, I want you to think for just a moment. To the right or to the left is not the dock. Now listen to me now. Being to the right of the dock or being to the left of the dock is not being anchored to the dock. And this is where people let their thinking take them. Well, I can see the dock from here. What's the big deal? You're not at the dock. That's the big deal. You can't load your boat over there. You can't get your boat over there and load it up on your trailer or be able to drive it out of there because now it's stuck. You're not where you're supposed to be. How many times growing up did your mom or dad tell you, said, if you hadn't have been there, you wouldn't have done that? You know, being in the wrong place. Your parents told you not to go somewhere and then you got caught. I'll never forget Roger and some of the guys borrowed my old blue Maverick that I had one time. They called it the night the lights went out in Milton because they drove my car into a guy wire and the guy wire on the pole started shaking and then lightning bolts, I guess, popped and so forth and then boom, it was pitch black. All right. Now, it didn't hurt my old Maverick. There was no damage done to it, but it scared them to death. And I don't think I heard about the lights that went out in Milton for a long time. Oh, by the way, Todd, back about several months ago, we drove your car up on a guy wire, and, you know, we knocked the breaker off. We had to call Gulf Power to come up and so forth like there. And I said, if you hadn't have been driving over there, you wouldn't have hit it. You know, big brother advice, right? But, you know, it's good advice, is it not? I don't have to worry about getting drunk. You know why? Because I don't go to bars. And I don't go buy alcohol at the store. I stay away from that stuff. So if I stay away from it, more than likely, I'm not going to partake of it. Correct? Go down the list of all the possible temptations in life. If you stay away from that place, I'll tell you a story that happened to an individual here in our city, a youth pastor, that started making his way over to the beach where they had the girly clubs. He started showing up down there. One night he went down there and there was a person that knew him from his church that was down there. And he came over and said, hey, pastor, what are you doing over here? Started laughing and he was half drunk and sober like that. He said, I'm having a good time just like you are. And then the guy, they were both drunk. The guy that saw him went back and told his wife. Hey, the pastor was down there at the girly place on the beach. And so, guess what happened? Anybody want to guess? The word spread quickly. Okay? Her husband and the pastor were down at the girly place. The pastor was removed from the church. Okay? The guy that was with him was a church member. They left the church with all the scandal that came about. What in the world was he doing down there? He undid the rope. And he just started drifting. And the next thing you know, he's out of the ministry completely. This, folks, is the simplest truth that everybody can understand. Keep your rope tied to the dock, Christian, and you won't drift. You won't end up in places you ought not to be. You won't go down into areas where you ought not to go. But when you start untying it and thinking, well, I'm strong enough. What does the Bible say about that? To him that thinketh he stand, take heed. Finish it. Lest he fall. That's not rocket science, folks. That's not stuff, oh, that's just too sophisticated for me. If it is, you got deeper problems. This is simple stuff. Keep your rope tied to the dock. Don't let it go to the right hand. Don't let it go to the left hand because in both places, you're not at the dock. And I'm going to tell young people here tonight. Some of you are tying a long leader to your boat with the intention, sooner or later, I'm going to untie from the dock and I'm out of here. Now that's sad to me. I have met so many of our young people that we've had in school here at Santa Rosa Christian School and those that were in our church in the past that undid the rope, chunked it, and they've been drifting ever since. Drifting into divorce, drifting into drugs, drifting into multiple job after job after job after job because they couldn't be trusted. They let go of the anchor point. Whether they're saved or not, you can still be tied to an anchor. You can still be tied to the dock, and maybe your rope is long, but you can pull yourself back to Jesus Christ. That's the point. Joshua, don't have a long leader on your rope. Don't have a 50-foot rope tied with the very end of it on there. You keep close. Don't drift to the right hand or to the left. Now, notice what follows in the text. What does the Lord say to Joshua here? If you don't drift and you don't turn to the right or left, what will happen? You will prosper. Now, please don't go off on some, crazy, these television evangelists and so forth like that, that have all this kind of crazy prosperity gospel nonsense. Send your money in to me. I'll send you something back. And it'll be touched by me. My tears will have touched it. And you'll receive an extra blessing. That's all garbage and nonsense. But there is such a thing, Christian, as being a prosperous Christian, a prosperous believer. What does that mean? It means you're going to be growing. Isn't that what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to bring forth fruit, and He wants us to bring forth much fruit. And He comes along and He trims us down. He prunes us so that we'll produce more fruit. He wants us to grow. But you can't grow if you're drifting. You can't grow if you're drifting. Because then you're not anchored to the place that's where you're going to get your life substance from. You're drifting away from the one that loves his plant and prunes it. You're drifting away from the one that waters and feeds the plant. You're just drifting away. You may say, well, I'm only 15 feet away. Yeah, but you're not tied to the dock. I'm only 20 feet away. What's the big deal? God doesn't mind. Oh, yes, He does. Joshua, if you want to be my leader over the children of Israel, turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest, everybody say it, prosper whithersoever thou goest. Whatever you do, wherever you go, you will prosper because you're anchored to me. Now, folks, this is not hard stuff. But I want to tell you what the devil does every day, and I want to tell you what the world does every day, and I want to tell you what your flesh does every day. It tells you, you don't need this. That's garbage. You don't need that. You don't need to. Don't listen to all that rubbish about, negative things like turn not. That's so negative. No, it's positive. Because if you're connected to the Word of God, you're connected to the bread of life, and you're connected to the water of life, and you're connected to the grace of God because you're anchored in Him. And it concerns me. It concerns me greatly. When I see individuals that just drift, not anchored, they're just drifting out there on the waves. And we satisfy ourselves, well, they're not that far away. I can still talk to them. They're over there, but they're not anchored. And we need to encourage them. Get back and anchor yourself to the Lord Jesus. So you're not drifting into things and places and attitudes that are contrary to the Word of God. Roger was sharing with me, and I'll close with this tonight, right before the service, of three people we know that were arrested over the last few weeks, people we've known for years. One of them was a young man that I grew up with. and he was arrested recently. And then another man that same age as Roger and I that coached up here, and we know their kids very well. Our kids played with his kids, even coached Roger's kids, and he's in jail, second time this year. And then a third fellow that we know that was arrested, and I just, what in the world is going on? Two of the men of the three have Bible backgrounds. Their parents had them in church. They grew up in church. But somewhere along the way, they untied the rope and they just drifted away. For one of the men that's in jail, he came to see me and was just crying and weeping and talking about his family situation. And my wife is so upset with me for some things that I've done and so forth like that. I'm not living at home anymore and I miss my kids so much. And he was crying and crying. I said, well, can I ask you something? Why are you talking to me? Who should you be talking to? He said, well, I know what you're going to say. And I said, well, say it to me then. You're going to say I need to go to Jesus and get things right. I said, that's exactly right. That's the starting point. I will be glad to talk with you and help you, but until you get right with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just words. Words going out. Arrested again. Now, this is serious business, what I'm sharing with you tonight. This turned not. It was so serious that God mentioned it to his servant Joshua, who was going to be leading a nation of 3.5 million people. You think these words are important? These are not just idle words, folks. This is not two people talking over a cup of coffee, sharing thoughts with each other. This is God Almighty telling his servant, be strong, be courageous, turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest be prosperous. Now, folks, we live in a day and age where the Bible doesn't carry a whole lot of weight anymore. And that's another grievance of soul to me. People that know the Word of God and yet they've just, I don't need that anymore. They're walking away. They're drifting away from God and His Word. How's that going to work out for them? There's going to be tears and sorrow of heart because they untied the rope instead of keeping the rope firmly anchored in Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, this is not hard stuff. This is not difficult. This is so simple, and yet it seems today that people who know better, people who have been taught, people who have been prayed over, people who have been ministered to since childhood, have forgotten these things. And so they untie the rope thinking, I'll be fine. I'm not going to be that far away. I'll drift just a little ways. You can't control how far you drift when you untie the knot. I pray, Father, that you would stir hearts. We have precious young people in this church. Oh, how we want them to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. How we want them to walk with thee throughout life. But there are some, sadly, that will go down this pathway of untying the rope and they'll drift away. Oh, they won't be very far away for a short while, but then before too long, they're so far away, they just look like a dot on the ocean. And then they're gone. I pray, Father, that you would work a work of grace in our hearts and lives to realize and to know that we have a job to do. We're to be strong, we're to be courageous, and we're to turn not to the right hand or to the left. We're not to untie the rope from the dock. Help us, dear Father, to be satisfied with that. Not to come up with alternative plans that say, well, I can do it differently. No, you can't. You do it differently, you untie the rope. I pray, Father, that we might be anchored to Thee every day of our lives so that when that day comes, whenever we breathe our last breath, we won't have to look back over life and regret. Especially if we've let go of the rope and we've turned away from Christ and we have nothing to do with Him and end up in a devil's hell. Then there's no recourse then. There's no way to go back. Father, work in our hearts. Encourage us. And may the weight of this message help us to be the right kind of leaders and the right kind of encouragers to others. May we not be satisfied with just watching people drift away. May we speak up. May we say, throw the rope in, we'll pull you back. Lord, there's a role there that we must have as believers. And I pray that we might do it, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.